KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got big guests today and tomorrow. Jeannie Bouchard coming up at about 1:15. Tomorrow, John Calipari coming up on the show at 11 o'clock. But right now, I wanted to talk about a specific aspect of the Dallas Cowboys that was driving me crazy before the 49ers game. And then it got worse. So...
Well, this is something you were thinking about rolling into the game, and then it was after the game.
Hey, okay, Kevin, what if we did an even poorer job? I was like, I don't know if you can. And they go, ha ha, yep. So I decided to chart it out and try to figure out what the problem is. So the Cowboys have been awful to start the game and start the second half on both sides of the ball.
Yes.
Awful. To put that in perspective, because you might be like, oh, that's a subjective word. Give me more information. Fair enough. Dallas has yet to score a touchdown in the opening drive of the game or the third quarter. On the flip side, teams have 7 touchdowns to begin a half against the Cowboys. So start the game, start the second half. Cowboys, no touchdowns. Other teams, 7.
Okay.
What does that mean? Overall, the Cowboys are getting outscored in that time 71-15.
That's bad.
That is bad, but it gets worse. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad. He seems.
Yeah. As long as you have a hot fourth quarter.
It could be 86-0. We got 15 of the 86.
All right, that's a great point. All right, so that means we've had 7 games. 1 possession to start the game for the other team, 1 possession to start the second half. That's 14 possessions. Alec, I'm going to go to you for this. Of these 14 possessions that the opposing team has had, how many times do you think they've scored against the Cowboys defense?
I'm going to go with 11.
That is nice to aspire to that. Actually, the answer is 13. Oh. They have given up 8 touchdowns, yes. 5 field goals.
Held them to a field goal.
And 1 time, they have not given up a score. To start the game or the third quarter, 14 tries, 1 time.
Okay.
Have they stopped it?
So it's doable. They say if you do it once.
That is.
Yeah. That, at least we know the team can do it.
I guess.
Yeah.
This is where I have a flaw in that philosophy. And I'm not saying scouts do it exactly like that. But if you tried to do something, like I always think about this in the slam dunk contest. You're like, I tried the dunk 15 times. I missed spectacularly 14 times. Well, 1 time I made it. Do you step onto that floor and you're like, I got this? Probably not, right?
Nate Robinson does.
That's true. But you probably shouldn't. So, the defense.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You probably haven't charted this, but maybe we need to chart this. In these moments... are they passing more or running more? Do you have any idea?
Now, that is a great question. Let's focus on the offense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was...
What does the offense do in these scenarios?
Score 15. Sounds like field goals. 3 times 5.
That is a great point.
I'm going to guess 5 field goals.
That is true. I decided to focus specifically on the first half for this and see if there's a pattern. I'll tackle the second half next. So 7 drives. 3 drives, no points.
Okay.
The breakdown of those 3 drives. 4 passes and 7 runs. So what do we learn in those drives where they score no points? They run the ball more.
Yeah.
Right? They had another.
And they're not good at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you'll also notice 3 drives and 11 plays, which means most of them were 3 and outs.
Yeah.
Then they had 1 drive with no points that is different than the rest. They passed the ball 6 times and ran it twice. You know why they got no points? They had 3 penalties on that drive.
Really?
So you see, they kept the ball longer, but what was their undoing? Penalties. So the first 3 drives, it's because they ran the ball too much. No points. Next one, they got the balance right. No points, 3 penalties. The 3 drives with field goals, and don't get me wrong, I understand we need touchdowns, not field goals. 19 passes and 8 runs. So just let's take out the penalty drive for a second. The three drives at the beginnings of games where the Cowboys score no points, four passes and seven runs. The three drives where they do score points, 19 passes and eight runs. This does not seem particularly difficult to figure out.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting to start the game. And what have we been told, Kevin? That you can't really run the ball well because you don't have time.
Yeah.
You've been behind the eight ball. Well, you got the ball first.
You got behind because you're running the ball.
You're not good at it. That's the reality, is when you're not good at it, you can't accomplish the thing that you want to do.
It is shocking. Again, I'm going to remove the drive with the penalties and go in order game by game just to show you how cut and dry this is. All right. Game one, no points in the first drive. One pass, two runs. Game two, nine passes and five runs, score points. Game after that, one pass, two runs, no points. Game after that, four passes, one run, they score. Next game, six passes, two runs, they score again. And they're like, you know what? This is stupid. Let's go back to the way we were doing it. Two passes, three runs, no points. Every single time, they get no points because they run the ball more than they pass, except for the one drive where they pass more, and then they got hit with three penalties in the same drive. And I think we agree this offense is nowhere near good enough to overcome any number of penalties.
Oh, yeah, not good enough to overcome penalties, not good enough to overcome three and outs, to say the least, or anything that pushes you back. Doesn't it feel like when you're running the ball that you're going backwards a lot of times? You're getting to the line of scrimmage or maybe even not getting there. So that's another problem there.
And see, a couple of questions come up. Somebody said, fire the mics from the 610. Another person said, how many times is Dak audible out of the play?
Don't know.
And if it was across the entire game, I think the percentage would be higher. But to be fair,
to start, the first 15 are kind of scripted. So,
and I'm not saying you can never audible out of that.
McCarthy talked with Sean and RJ about that last week, and he said that they do have alternate plays for second downs and then things that they can move around. So they do have some other. He said it's more like 25 plays for the first 15.
Okay. So,
that's good preparation.
You'd probably think that, like, you don't audible out as much. Not to say that it can't happen whatsoever. Here's my point. If I was able to figure this out, like, it's not that complicated. Why? Okay. It's not that complicated to me. Why is it that a team that we all know isn't good at running the ball? You see the numbers. When you run the ball more, you don't score points. Why are they so stubborn to continue? We will try to run the ball early.
Because you gotta run the ball at some point.
Why?
Because you gotta get better at it.
But you're not.
Because if you're one dimensional, teams can take that away.
You're one dimensional now.
Yeah, so
you are one dimensional.
You're saying Sunday, if I'm hearing you correctly, you want to pass the ball 70 times?
Maybe not 70 times.
50?
But zero runs?
No, not zero runs, but I don't think passing the ball 35 to 40 times automatically means loss with the way this offense is constructed. I know long term, that's not probably the direction you want to go.
I'm fairly certain also on your charting that you saw there were a lot of first down runs, and that part kills you when you don't get the gains on first down.
Yes.
And now you're in second and long, third and long, and predictable, man. If you're in first down run, you're Mike McCarthy and it's predictable. They know your methodology. Now, when do you make that zag? When do you make that moment? Do you say, you know what, we're 8-9 games in, this is the time to do it? That's the other thing. Now, again, you're bad at it. Your offensive line is not good at blocking it. We haven't even gotten to the defensive line yet on that front, but your offensive line's not good enough and your running backs aren't good enough at the moment.
Yeah, from the 2-1-4, Dak needs a run game. Y'all know this.
That is a reality. Dak can't win games being just the, hey, I'm going to go out here and Aaron Rodgers this sucker.
I agree. Let the game progress. On these first drives, it ain't working for you. All right? Let the game progress and try to run the ball afterwards. You know what? You've tried to get the run integrated in all these games. It hasn't worked. What is the harm in at least your first drive being more...
That's a run pass.
I would love that. Of being more pass-centric, at least on the first drive. Because you see, the first drive of these games and the first drive of the second half are killing this team.
I know you make this sound easy, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
But this is going against professional athletes. If you start doing it your way, maybe they're just not good enough. Maybe Mike Bassick's fastball's just not good enough. And you're like, well, your fastball's not good enough, Mike. Throw 87 changeups. And maybe this dude Canley for New York has it
right. He can do it.
But, like, I understand what you're saying, but against the best of the best – you kind of have to mix it up, even if you're bad at something and you know you're bad at something, because then what you are decent at becomes worse if you just do it all the time.
I am totally fine with that on your ensuing drive.
So you're saying, hey, on the second quarter.
Or second drive. I think on the first drive, again, I'm not saying don't run the ball at all. I'm saying the breakdown is when you pass the ball more than you throw the ball on your first drive, that's when you have success. So at least on the first drive, and hell, it can be broken down however you want.
They have a whole analytics department too.
What are you supposed to do? I did listen to some of the Mike McCarthy interview Friday, I believe. Maybe it was Monday. Is it Monday with the fan here?
No, yeah. It's Friday.
It's Friday, right?
Yeah. Oh, the
maybe,
interview.
Maybe it was the post game. Maybe it was the post game. I can't remember, but Mike McCarthy said on plays like 5, 6, and 7, they had mistakes. Like, guys didn't do their assignment. I don't know if those were runs or passes. Maybe we'd have to go back to plays 5 through 8 and see what those plays were. What do I do about that? That these guys don't even know what the play is or their assignment on a play. Like, I'm not trying to take the blame off of Mike McCarthy. I know he's not having a good year either. Mike Zimmer, there's nothing Mike Zimmer can do. He has minor leaguers playing major league football.
Sure.
Is I look at, what do I do about guys running wrong routes? What do I do about guys breaking the huddle and they're looking to the sideline and going, I don't know what my responsibility is on this play. And you're like, these are the scripted plays. As we get later in the game, maybe I can understand, still inexcusable, but maybe I can understand more. You don't know your responsibility on play 5 that we've gone over scripted?
And that is a whole nother problem that I'm sure Mike McCarthy is like, he made allusions to it, like you said, but you can't totally bury your players if he's like, if you had any idea how hard it was to get these 15 to 25 plays through people's head. I want them to switch up their beginning of the game script, because I think it is killing this
team.
And
I know you're talking offense, but defensively, maybe Dan Quinn kept things simple because these guys can't handle different things. And so I'm going to give credit to Mike Zimmer. I thought he did the best he could with what he had against the 49ers, throwing 7 guys on the line of scrimmage and then just, you don't know who's coming because we have 7 bad pass rushers. But maybe we send all 7. Maybe we send 4, but you're not exactly sure which 4 we send. Like, he's trying to deal with the most untalented team in all of football. I don't care. Take Carolina, whatever. His front 7 is the most right now untalented team in all of football. And I do think for McCarthy, he's dealing with some issues that maybe behind the scenes we don't know about. And, like, this is really tough, I think, on these coaches to have lack of talent and then to try and maybe lack of education that they can't handle some of the more complex schemes that other teams run.
Yeah, and somebody brings up what could be a very valid point. Dallas would be punting at 14:08 of the first quarter if they start being more aggressive. I'm not disputing that, but at this point, I'm willing to risk it. And I'm willing to say, yes, let's see what happens, because this other one doesn't work.
I like the dude that said, so you're saying establish the pass to set up the run?
Hell yeah.
You become the Golden State Warriors. We just need Curry and Thompson. We need to be the Splash Brothers. We need to be the greatest show on turf. We just need Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Marshall Faulk.
Let's go.
We got at least one of those. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some NFL overreaction or reality? And Mike likes it. All part of the expressway. Hopefully, right here on The Fan.
First down and goal. Elliott to Prescott's right. Lamb in the left slot. Three wide set. Handoff. Elliott right up the middle. Boom. Walk your little dog right there. Cowboys score.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality. The Cowboys will make an impactful trade before the deadline. Interestingly enough, in case you didn't know, the trade deadline is at 3 p.m. Tuesday.
Today's Wednesday.
This coming Tuesday.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Which is also our national election day.
What?
Why would they schedule an election on that day? That's the trade deadline.
Is there any way they trade the two candidates out I have to vote on?
I mean, you got one of them traded out earlier.
That is valid.
That's the best we can do,
You're only allowed one trade per party.
It still didn't make much
focus on the question at hand.
No, they're not. Do you think Jerry's working right now?
Overreaction.
He's calling up Papa John and Mr. Jim's and seeing who'll give him more money for pizza.
No, they just...
I thought he was going to say Papa John about election advice.
I've been saying this for a while since we asked about the soft rebuild. And I really legitimately think they are trying to everything they can to save a little bit here and here and here and make a push later next year, 2 years down the road. Right now, this is not the year. They've already made that decision that they, all right, we're going to sign Dak, we're going to sign CD, and then we're going to continue to try and build there. I don't know how they're going to accomplish it, Kevin, because you're the capologist. I don't know exactly how that works, but I don't think that pushes this season, and I don't think they're willing to make that move and lose assets this season.
We've had discussions about this, and I saw it on Twitter this morning or last night, but I saw it this morning. Hey, guys. Would you be pumped if the Cowboys traded for a guy who's on the injured list and you're not sure if he's going to come back and play? People are like, oh, what if they trade DeMarcus Lawrence? Or I'm like, who? They don't.
Or what?
Who's trade? Like the kids, yeah. Hey, we traded for DeMarcus Lawrence. We don't know if he's ever going to play again, but we do owe him a lot of money now, and we just lost a third round pick. Like, no, do you want the Cowboys to trade right now for a dude who's on the injured list who might not play the rest of his career? Like, they're not trading for DeMarcus Lawrence.
If we can make that trade as the Cowboys, I support that trade a lot.
I hear those people say those things on Twitter, and I'm like, have you thought about this from the other side? And do you want the Cowboys to trade for right now to a T? Like, he is playing, but are you, like, a little bit worried about his contract and his head?
Now, Jared Goff... in the past five games, has completed 83% of his passes. That surpasses Peyton Manning as the highest completion percentage ever for a player in five games.
Reality.
The Lions are off to their best start since 1956. With all that in mind, draw from the playbook of one Reginald Atitoula.
That's a Don Larson perfect game.
Overreaction or reality, this is the year that the Detroit Lions will finally make the Super Bowl.
Lions?
It's disgusting.
Oh, no.
Lions versus Washington in the NFC Championship game.
That would
the
actually
the two teams the Cowboys had an advantage on until last year when the Lions took it away. Man, I still think playoff time, that Aiden Hutchinson injury, if he comes back... Which what? They're optimistic.
They said it would only be the Super Bowl. Okay. So probably not.
Son of a gun. The NFC sucks. Stinks. Sorry. Dump it. Whatever. Sure. Why not? It's the Lions. It's their...
If Hutchinson hadn't gotten hurt, would you feel pretty good about this?
Yeah, because I think they have that top five defensive player with their offenses rolling.
Yeah.
And then I just start thinking San Francisco, Green Bay, not like I'm with Corey with Minnesota. By the end of the year, they probably will have six or seven losses at least. Like, I don't know who's the team. I don't think Washington with a rookie quarterback, it's never happened, right? We ran into this Dak situation.
Yes, correct.
And then Philadelphia, they don't impress me. They're way better than the Cowboys, but they don't impress me much.
Corey? Overreaction, reality. Okay. The Lions are making the Super Bowl. What a foolish thing to even ask. All right. Overreaction or reality, the Jets are having the saddest season in the NFL. Now, before you answer, let me tell you one more thing.
This is a good question.
It had been 750 times over the course of NFL history that if a team scored more than 20 points, didn't turn the ball over, and held their opponent to less than 250 yards. That happened 750 times in NFL history. Those teams were 750 and zero until the mighty New York Jets lost to the Patriots.
Wow.
So that's now 750 and one.
They've gone, I mean, they really have gone all in. They're trying everything with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And they're worse than the Cowboys record. So, yeah, I will say out of whatever, Carolina, like they're 3 years away from being 3 years away. I look at the Jets and go, they really did feel like last year and then obviously to start the year, oh no. And then this year that they could become a true contender and they're going to have a top 10 pick again. So yeah, it is the most sad or the saddest. I'm not sure which goes. I know fastest isn't a word.
I guess because of the expectation and funnest. The result that it feels, huh?
Most fun.
He got confused because then he said fastest wasn't a word.
But funnest isn't a
fastest
word.
Fastest is a word,
yes,
Mike.
It definitely
it's a,
is.
It's a great word. I think funnest is a word, too. Everybody gets where I'm going. It's
back to fun. You. Back to you, Corey.
I know. It's most fun.
Oh, my God.
Funner would be more
not
fun.
Not this. Okay, back to you, Corey.
When can you not put an ER or an EST on a word?
Don't answer that.
Yeah, go
don't
with football.
Answer that.
Stop answering my questions.
It's a trick.
It's a trick.
Can you re-ask the question?
Oh,
the
yes. Guy. The Jets are having the saddest season in the NFL besides me.
Again,
most
I
sad.
Feel like because of the expectation and result. I mean, the Titans are having a sad season.
Right.
The Carolina Panthers are having an extremely sad season. They had to turn to Andy Dalton.
That's true.
So
and they got better too.
They did.
So, but I will say with the expectation of Aaron Rodgers and the way Mike did explain them trying to go all in, it is very, very sad.
NFL overreaction or reality? You like seeing football games with weird scores. New Orleans, for example, was up on the Chargers 2-0, and then Los Angeles led at the half 9-5. Do you like seeing games like that with weird scores?
This is my thought, Corey. I hear what you're asking.
I do.
Here is my thought when I saw that score. Thank God I'm not watching this game. That's when I saw the update.
That is
like,
fair.
I understand. Like, well, that's a weird score. I wonder how that happened. That goes through my mind a little bit. The main thought is, thank God I'm not watching that game.
I'm with Mike. If it's a weird score and it's high,
yeah,
then I'm like, okay that's what I'm talking about.
We've missed
about.
Action.
Yeah, low weird score
hey,
is
9
like,
to 5.
Yeah, but if it's 62 to 50,
you're probably thinking,
like, hold on.
Low weird score, you're going, this is two bad teams
okay.
right now, is what you're thinking. Or if it's two great defenses, still not watching.
Oh, wow. By the way, Alec, do you support football games with weird scores in them?
I do because I think that they are the funnest variety of football games
oh
that you
God.
Can get in the NFL.
That was a mistake.
If you ask me. If you ask me.
NFL overreaction.
The most weird is how you say it. Don't put an ist on it.
You can say weirdest.
What are
well, you can say whatever you want.
I guess that is a fair counterpoint.
I love like more weirder. That's fun.
Yeah.
Whenever people
the
say
most weirdest.
That's a made up word, don't you want to be like all words are made up?
Yes, I always yeah. I yeah. always suggest
English
that.
Is the worst, but the most common,
which is weird. This I don't know. I don't know. All right,
Kevin's in. Kevin's in part of the party now.
Yeah. NFL overreaction or reality? Corey, I'm going to start with you because I don't think you agree with this.
Ooh.
Brock Purdy is an average to slightly above average quarterback. So this comes from, by the way, Jason LaCanfora wrote a story where he talked with an executive from the NFL who's like, I'm trying to stay unbiased and not be influenced by what I saw in college, but Kyle Shanahan has to see what I see.
I think he's above average.
Okay.
And I mean, because he makes some throws that are significant. He makes some special throws.
But he makes some really crappy ones,
that,
like the Debo Samuel on fourth down. He was open, and
yeah.
he
that was so far behind
he couldn't
him.
Hit that
yeah.
pass.
There's, I mean, that pass to Kittle though was very nice. So, I would just say above average because he can make those throws too. Benefits a lot from the talent around him. Mahomes is pretty much the only quarterback I know of that, like, you take all the talent away and he's still going to be as good as he is. Whether or not they catch the ball is the problem. So that's where I put him, above average. Not slightly, but above.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
he's cutting me off now because of my wordage.
Well, he thought you were getting ready for my class.
Mike, if I was going to cut you off, I should have done it so many other times. All right, go, please.
So I will say that he is above average, but not much. Here's my question back to you, though, as I ask the overachieving or underachieving questions. This is the segment.
Why not?
The next 5 years, and I know this is tough because they have to deal with their organization. Who's better now and who's better over the next 5 years, Dak versus Purdy? Just talent-wise, not
Brock
like...
Brock Purdy's better this season.
Okay. Like, who you think that... I think, it's tough because of I get the organization. San Francisco's a much well-run organization.
And that's why I'll default to Purdy, because that organization is so much better suited
for it. I was thinking about that during the game. Is Brock Purdy better than Dak?
Got a better play caller.
Okay.
And that's hard to totally factor
I agree.
Out.
I'm with Broadus. Is he better, though?
I'm with Broadus on the... And I hope he's said this publicly. You know what? This is my thought, if he hasn't. I'd like to see Dak with a special play caller.
Yes, for sure.
That way, like, Kellen Moore had the potential to be special, and then it just all fell apart. But I would like to see him with a Ben Johnson type, a Bobby Slowick, one of those guys that really knows how to scheme receivers open.
But because Ben Johnson, when they're open, not on roids.
Yeah. because when they're open, Dak's pretty damn good. So...
Just taking a quick step back, I love one of these answers. I love a weird score. I love seeing the score and going, what the F happened there? that is a great point. All right. The Bengals got trucked by the Eagles. Yeah. And Joe Burrow said, we can still win 10 games. That's doable. We just got to win 7 of 9. Overreaction or reality, the Bengals can still win 10 games.
Overreaction.
That's what I think, too.
T. Higgins is hurt. I don't know when that quad injury is going to give up. Zach Moss, they expected to be their starter. Now they've had to turn to Chase Brown, who's doing better. But their defense just isn't good. It's a weak, soft defense.
Looking at their schedule, I lean no.
Yeah.
They have still at Ravens. They have the Steelers twice. So that's 3 games there. I'm not saying the Steelers are great or whatever. Now, games that are very winnable for them, Raiders, I mean, I'm going to be honest here, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, they play the Broncos at home. It's doable. Let's say they lose at Ravens and at Steelers. They have to win out. They have at Chargers, which isn't an easy game, but not a hard game. I lean towards no, but six wins. I give them 6 more wins.
Okay.
Kevin... John Machota has tweeted out that Trayvon Diggs not at practice today, dealing with an undisclosed injury.
Oh, his heart. Son of God. I don't know that to be the case. I don't know that to be the case. We will have John Machota on the show, the Machota, tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll talk with the Machota tomorrow.
Yeah, what if they would have done that for Rico Dowdle? That would have worked. Hey, his feelings are hurt.
It's undisclosed.
But that's not what he said, right?
Yeah, they couldn't put an injury. They would have gotten trouble for putting an injury on their Sunday that they didn't put on for like a week or so. So they had to come up with a sick injury.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. The Panthers should only bench Bryce Young for road games. Now, consider this. Bryce Young is 0-10 on the road in his career. That is the second worst road record for any quarterback since 1950. Do you want to guess
Troy Aikman,
who could have been worse? They are a significantly worse player than that.
Okay, because I just know that the Cowboys went 1-15 and their one win was Steve Walsh. So
in football history, they are significantly worse than
that. So we're trying to guess a nobody.
A nobody, correct.
John Roch.
Colt McCoy.
David Klingler.
Oh, the Klingler.
With Cincinnati started Houston his Cougars. Career. That's true. Started his career 0-13. Would you consider only benching Bryce Young for road games?
It doesn't matter. He's losing everything. He can't see. The players are too tall and big and strong and fast in this league for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with him. Like I said, best case scenario, you give him lifts in his shoes and you give him 2 more inches to give him a chance.
He's not even listed, Kevin, as a quarterback in 1950.
Klingler? Yeah, he wasn't in the league. He wasn't born yet.
Oh, okay.
What?
David Klingler?
Yes.
Yeah, he played like in the 90s.
Yeah, he didn't qualify.
He was there with Andre Ware.
Is what I'm saying. He didn't qualify.
Like he was a part of that Houston situation.
All right, one more quick one for you. Overreaction or reality? Dennis Allen will be the next head coach fired. The Saints have lost 6 straight after starting 2-0 and crushing the Cowboys. And we were all like, oh, the Saints going to be a player? People are like, yeah. And then they're like, no.
He was already kind of on that hot seat anyway.
True.
And if they, like that many consecutive losses would be a big deal.
The Saints are the first team in NFL history to lose 6 straight games after winning their first 2 games by 20-plus points. I know that's kind of a niche stab, but that's probably not where you want to be,
I just
right?
don't think a coach will get fired
during
the
season.
Yeah, like maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks just to kind of let everybody know we're moving on.
Yeah.
But I just don't think in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I kind of feel like that's your question. Like, hey, if they lose 2 more games.
Exactly.
Like, will he get fired if they lose them bad these next two? I think teams are kind of more in the deal of like, hey, it didn't work in with the Jets. We stink. We're not going to get better because of a coaching change right now.
And Kevin, I want to give this credit to Nick Harris. The jury that Brandon Aubrey is serving on is currently deliberating over a sentence for the defendant after finding him guilty on 1 of 2 charges. The hope is that the case will end this afternoon and Aubrey's responsibilities will be fulfilled. Do you think he was the foreman of that? What is that guy?
He should have been.
He's the guy that's in charge of it all.
That's where you make burgers for everybody.
Is that George?
He got it.
See? You're getting sucked into the Mike vortex that is impossible
the
to
vortex
escape.
He brought the foreman.
It was pretty fun.
Did you get hungry while you're in there and stuff?
Do you think? Never mind. Nope. Never mind. It's time.
It's the most insane design. You got to admit the design of the Foreman grill.
Yeah, just smash it down, and it's gonna like it's huge.
You don't smash it because then it gets sticky. You just place it down and let the gravity of the top do its deal.
You can't take the plates off.
Fair
to
enough,
wash
Mike.
Them, you have to wash it on the peat. It's still such a weird thing.
And they
thing.
Had that like big forky thing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a fork, but just to get it through the grate.
Yeah, that little grease trap, though.
You know what? Yeah, we're already in the midst of it. It's Mike likes it. It's already down. Begun.
All right, guys. Let's get serious here, okay?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Damn right.
I don't know. All right. Pulled up. Take a load off.
Did
just
you?
In case.
Are you not prepared for this segment? After what happened last week?
I wrote down 3 sentences.
Oh, my God.
Those are topic ideas.
All right, yeah. All right, you ready?
Let me ask you a quick question. Uh-huh. How often, like the day before, maybe a couple of days before, do you kind of plan out what you're going to do for Mike Likes?
Not much.
Okay.
Yeah, usually the day of.
Okay. Usually during the show, right?
Somewhat, yeah. This one came to me during therapy today.
Okay. Oh.
So I was in therapy from 9 to 9:50. That's why I miss... crosstalk on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday.
Yep.
Marriage therapy. It's the best. So we went over this, and I know this sounds like individual therapy rather than marriage therapy, but I kind of come to this realization.
Yep.
See, look, words. You know what I'm talking about?
I feel you.
So this is based off of me, and Kevin might fall into this category. This is not a good category to be in, by the way.
Oh, no.
But winning versus losing, okay?
Yeah.
So I came to this realization when I was on the United States qualifying team. Like, I say Olympic team. It was Olympic qualifying team. It wasn't the Olympics.
And you guys won!
And in 06, won the AAA World Series for Tucson Sidewinders. That's the only time, like, I've ultimately won... in baseball, besides like Connie Mack World Series in 1995, like in high school and stuff with the Dallas Mustangs. But here's how I feel about winning versus losing. The only reason I like winning over losing is because I don't want to feel the pain of losing. It hurts so much more to lose. Winning, here's my issue with winning. I never celebrated winning. We won in Cuba, and I felt great, but I felt like I could have been better. I was the one guy who lost. We lost one game that whole tournament to Venezuela. I came in extra innings and lost the game. And so I felt like I didn't contribute. I was like, I was the main loser on that team. Like, I was the least of our guys because I didn't pitch well enough. Here's the other thing. In 06 for Tucson, I was great. I was 11-0. I didn't pitch a lot in the playoffs because I was in Cuba and then came back and was a reliever and did fine in my couple appearances in the playoffs. But I didn't really celebrate it because in my mind, I'm like, well, we won. That was kind of what we were supposed to do. And then I was kind of, you know, it goes into therapy. I won't get into too much of this, but maybe my upbringing and stuff is like winning is just the result of putting in the work and doing the things. You don't celebrate it. What you don't want to be is the loser, because that's the worst feeling in the world. So as we get close to this World Series coming to an end, and I celebrated the Rangers. It was great. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But I really, in my life, celebrating an accomplishment that I was part of a team or an individual accomplishment, I don't celebrate those. Because of the way I was taught through grandparents and parents, I just don't want to feel the pain of losing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I exactly fall into this category. And it's not just winning and losing. It trickles over to like real life, if you don't mind, for just one second. Yeah. My talking doctor kind of like chastised me about this. And he's like, you realize that doesn't make any sense, right? Because if something goes well, like Peace-a-thon, for example, we smashed Peace-a-thon records and everything. And I was really happy, but then I was like, but that's, you know, that's how it should have been. Like, we worked really hard and we planned. So I have a bad kind of tendency to, if you fail, it's because like you did bad. If you succeeded, well, okay, that's fine. That's what you're supposed to do. And so I also have a hard time like celebrating things like that.
Corey, how do you feel about winning versus losing, and how are you able to celebrate winning and feel freedom and joy in it?
Yes, I am. But I always do find, though, that it doesn't nearly live up to what I dream it to be. Like you kind of feel like, hey, man, everything's a parade and I'm going to be able to, you know, live the rest of my life in this feeling. Well, the next day you do have to go back to work. You know, like, though, unless you win the lottery, I guess, like, that's a win that you can celebrate for a while. But yeah, it never really does live up, because then it's over. Now it's over. The fun part was actually enjoying the game, like the intense part of the World Series, not necessarily the World Series, but that ALCS. That's the thing I want to relive. That's the part that I want to go back to so many times. The victory itself is the outcome. It is the result.
And I'm able to celebrate the Mavs making it to the NBA Finals. I'm able to celebrate the Rangers winning the World Series. Because I'm not really a part of that. Yeah. Does that make sense? I'm just a fan of it.
Yes.
But in my life, anytime I've ever won or accomplished something, I feel better about not losing.
I'm with
than
you on that.
The actual winning of the job or the game, or it's like relief, like I didn't lose. And then, you know, so it's just weird realizing that I was taught winning is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Losing is you're a failure.
When you did what you were supposed to do, were you rewarded? And do you reward yourself?
Well, I guess I'm rewarded by like in as an adult, I was awarded by you guys are making it to the Olympics, or mm-hmm. you guys have won the AAA championship. But
like when
if you're talking about like I never lost a game in high school pitching. Like I was literally, I think I was in regular season games. I know I never lost. I lost 3 games in high school my whole career pitching, and it was just in the playoffs. I didn't ultimately win the state championship.
And you didn't go get yourself a lollipop.
No, because I felt like that was, and you know what? And through my coaches, like Coach Rombach, I love him. He's dead now, but he's in the Texas Hall of Fame for coaching. Like, no, you never lose. Like you have now put a standard on yourself of you don't lose.
So it's a hard standard to live up to too.
Yeah.
You were about to say something about our ratings. My talking doctor, I like him a lot. He's a very smart guy. The Dallas Card Show starts tomorrow. I've actually been ordered multiple times. He was like, go celebrate. Buy yourself something you want at the Dallas Card Show, because whatever worked out. And sometimes I'd have a hard time with that as well.
Yeah, I usually, if we do something good here at the station, Adrian, let's go out. You know, and she wants to celebrate it because she wants to. She wants me to know that it was a big deal. So that's usually what it is.
But whether it's in your life, I'm just like, whether it's, look, I love my parents. My parents love me.
Yeah.
But like, I have done things to hurt my kids too. Like not physically, like just so people understand, but like nobody's perfect in parenting and I'm far from it. And my parents aren't perfect in parenting and my coaches weren't perfect in coaching and my boss is, I will say, aren't perfect in bossing. Like, you know, I don't know. It's really weird in my life that I really haven't had a person who celebrates success and is like, celebrate it.
Yeah.
Like up here, for example, like we're a team here. We're a family. Like, so what? We're number one. Don't celebrate it because it's going to get taken away from you any second.
No,
right?
Enjoy that moment,
that's,
man.
That's how Spittle's no different than my coaches either. Like they're like, no, we're not celebrating. In fact, it's going to be taken away if this person stops listening, you know, and not that he knows a specific person, but like you understand, like our ratings are based off of 100 people listening. Like you have thousands and thousands of people listening don't actually matter to our livelihood. It's a weird thing of how it works, but it's like, so it's weird that, you know, in a way it's like, don't, it keeps getting reestablished in my life. Don't celebrate success at the station. We're not going to celebrate it, so you don't celebrate it. You know, and it's been throughout my life, so it's really this weird thing of like, I do not celebrate winning because it's been reestablished throughout, whether it's my grandparents, parents, coaches, bosses, you do not celebrate good things.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing too is, a lot of people think if you celebrate it, then you're not going to,
you'll soften up.
Yeah. Or you're like, not going to give that
Dirk celebrate too much? Like after winning one, did he relax way too much?
But that's on my side. That's where I'm like, no, I want to do that again. I want a reason to enjoy that celebration again. So like I had fun doing that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking forward to the next time. And if I'm doing it every day, man, hell, let's have some fun.
But we hear like the pain of losing Michael Jordan probably falls into the category. I don't know. I'm throwing.
He worked hard out of fear of not being the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. He worked out and that's got to be a lot of pressure.
Like,
too.
I don't know. I don't know Patrick Mahomes, like how we haven't had the big documentaries on him on how winning versus losing motivates him. Cause I don't know. Michael Jordan, obviously there was crying moments and stuff like that, but then I'm sure, I don't know, maybe he did celebrate, but maybe it was just like, good, I didn't lose. I didn't have that feeling against the Pistons anymore, finally.
And Corey, you're right. Life would be easier if, I'm just speaking for me, if I could just accept it and celebrate it and, you know, have fun accordingly. But instead, I obsess about what if this happens next or what if this happens next or how am I going to keep it if it is a personality flaw.
And what
to
would
be
I,
sure.
And
do you think
what
it's
I
more
tell
of a guy thing?
What would I tell you about that?
You tell me to take a load
you
off.
Can't
and
control.
I would rip my
you can't control
oh,
that
take
part.
A load off.
You can control your effort.
See, I got way too serious. Gosh,
that was good. No, I like that, man.
Yeah. Would you rather be smart and ugly, or beautiful and dumb? That's question 59.
Beautiful and dumb gets you so many.
Think
things,
about
right?
that as we go to,
especially right now,
to the C block.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next,
laugh.
It's the C block starring Corey Majors.
And I totally forgot what we're doing here.
You want to take a load off?
No, you know what? I got some Diggs audio, and I also have a hilarious joke for you, Kevin.
Oh,
next to The Fan.